Number 10.
God himself is present, let us now adore him, and with all the near before him. God is in this temple, all within keep silence, prostrate lie with deepest reverence. Him alone, God, we own. Him our God and Savior, praise his name forever. God himself is present, hear the praise resounding, see the host, the throngs surrounding. Holy, 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 hear the hymn ascending, angels, saints, their voices blending. Bow thine ear to us here, hear, O Christ, the praises that the church now raises. O thou fount of blessing, purify my spirit, trusting only in thy merit. Like the holy angels who behold thy glory, may I ceaselessly adore thee. Let thy will ever still rule thy church terrestrial, as the host celestial. Amen.
834.
In the rifted rock I'm resting, safely sheltered I abide. There no foes nor storms molest me, while within the cleft I hide. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee. Long pursued by sin and Satan, weary, sad, I long for rest. Then I found this heavenly shelter, open in my Savior's breast. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee. Peace which passeth understanding, joy the world can smiles of love I live.
I greet you today in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope His peace, His mercy, His love is with us. And I am so grateful for His word that is with us. He has said that He was going to be with us to the end of the earth. And His word always talks to us. Whenever we open up His word, that is when He talks to us. We talk to Him in a prayer, and He talks to us in the form of His word, which we are so richly about today. In the letter of 1 John that we're going to look at this today is a letter that John wrote to the believers, and he writes it to the believers with a goal that the believers, he who believes in the Son, that they can have life, that we can have this assurance of salvation. And he has it various ways that we're going to see this in this letter. First, we see that this John, he had walked with Jesus for at least 3 years, maybe a little bit over. He had known Jesus for every day. He had known Jesus so well that Jesus was this word of God, how he describes Jesus in this letter, that he was the word of life that was revealed to them. And second, we see that in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21, we find that John was a fisher. When Jesus called him to follow him, he was in his boat with his father fixing their nets. And this John, he saw the word of life passing by. He saw this, that God was talking to him. And God was telling him, follow me. And John made that wise decision that he didn't look up on his normal life. He saw that it is more important that I will follow the living God and that I will follow him. He saw that this Jesus was the Word of God in a human form. That is what he describes in this letter to us. We also see in this letter that John is telling us a testimony, what he has encountered with the Word of life, with the Word that became life, that he had experienced with Jesus. He calls him the Word of life, that he saw this Word of God in a human form. John does not tell us any kind of story here. He tells us this encounter that he had with the Son of God. And it is so precious to him that I just imagine he is over full of joy. He is overflowing with joy about telling other people about this encounter he had with this living God, with Jesus. That many prophets, the Bible tells us many prophets had been asking when this Messiah would come, when Jesus would come. And finally, they were said that it was not going to be in their time. And John, as being a fisherman, he is overwhelmed that he was worthy of encountering this word of life, this Jesus. Jesus was so personal to John that the Bible says us that John was wanting to lean. He leaned on the breast of Jesus. He wanted to be close to the heart of God. He had this love for Jesus that he wanted to be close on the heart of God, of Jesus. So we'll go right into 1 John chapter 1. And I'll read the chapter and then we'll break it down. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1 through 10. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, we have seen it, and bear witness, and show to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard declare we to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we to you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is life, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. So far, we'll start off in verse 1, where he says, where he explains how the word of God was with the creation, how Jesus was with the creation. He says that what was in the beginning, that what was in the from the beginning, which we have heard. Here he says, we have heard that Jesus, that the Word was with God in the beginning. John tells us here that Jesus has eternal existence, that Jesus did not come to existence when he was born into this world, that the Word was, that Word was, explains that Jesus didn't just come into existence when he was born into this world. He already existed before the time began. He had to be born into this world to become human, but he was there when Jesus, when God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit were there creating everything. Jesus was there. For example, Philip asked Jesus, "Show us the Father." And then Jesus replies, he says, "Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Jesus was eternal existence. And John had this living encounter with God in the flesh. God, Jesus was a form, he took the form of flesh to become God in human form, to come and die for our sins as God, as a living sacrifice. It's just like if we pour a concrete floor, the form is put up. The form is put up to where the concrete can be poured in there, and then later on, the forms can be taken off. The forms doesn't mean that the form is the concrete. And just like that, Jesus became, it came that. He took the form of human so that God could come inside the human in with one goal, that we can have fellowship with him again. He was born to become that what he had made himself. Jesus was there when God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit created human. When they created Adam and Eve, Jesus was there. And now this word became flesh. And we'll read us a verse for that. And John explains it. He says, our eyes have seen it. We have seen this with our own eyes. I can just imagine John is drawing us a picture. I would say in our days, if we would take John into our days, he would maybe take a picture out, or he would take out his phone and show us pictures where he encountered Jesus, where he walked with Jesus, how Jesus did these miracles, how they fed the 5,000 people, the 4,000 people, how the cripples, the sick were healed. He would show that to us. And that is what he's doing here. He is saying, our eyes have seen this Jesus. We have walked with him. We have touched him. That is what he's doing here. He's telling us that we have encountered this Jesus. Let's say, for example, someone goes to Israel, and we know that they went there. Let's say a friend went there, and they come back and tell us stories. They show us pictures of what they've seen. And we believe that because they have proof. We know that they went there and then they prove it. The same way John is doing that here. He is proving himself by saying that our eyes have seen this. Our hands have touched this. He says, we have touched him. John is thinking about him leaning on Jesus' breast. When they had this Last Supper, John was on the breast of Jesus. That is what he is saying, that this word was manifest to us. It became the word of life. The word of God became human, and that is Jesus Christ. He says, we have looked upon and touched it with our own hands. For example, in the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 14, John says that the Word was made flesh. The Word, which he refers to Jesus, he says that Word was made flesh. And he says that Word was full of grace and truth. That Jesus came in the form of human and he became full of grace and truth. In chapter 1 and verse 1 in the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. Here he explains that Jesus was the Word and that he was in the beginning. And then he says, and the Word was with God. Jesus was with God. He was in heaven. He was with God. And then he says, and the Word was God. Here he explains what Philip asked. He says, Philip asked Jesus, where is the Father? Show us the Father. And Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus was God coming in a human form. In that he says, this God we have touched. John refers that Jesus being eternal and coming from the Father. John goes on and says that we have seen him with our own eyes. And then we go to verse 2 how he says that for the life was revealed, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was revealed to us. First, we see that John explains that for the life was revealed. That word was there means that without Jesus, without the Word of God, without the Word what was with God being revealed to humans, to us people, there is no life. Without Jesus, besides Jesus, there is absolutely no life. First, he says that it's revealed. So that means before Jesus, there was no life. Without Jesus, there is no life. There is our earthly life, but there is no spiritual life. There is no eternal life besides Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no life. For example, Jesus asked Peter when the disciples didn't want to walk with him again. He asked his disciples, the 12, he says, do you want to leave? And then Peter replies, he says, Lord, where should we go? You have words of life. And this is what these disciples encountered. The word of life that was revealed to them. This is the greatest sacrifice ever on earth, that life has been revealed. This life in a human form, of this that we bear witness, John says, this is that we bear witness to you of the word of life being revealed to us. This Jesus that they had touched. John is just overflowing with joy, telling people about what he had seen, heard, and touched. John was so full of joy that he couldn't keep from talking about this Jesus, the Word of life. He talks about this Word of life. Not only did the Word of life come, but the Word of life came to give life. And that is what John has. He has this life of Jesus in him. And that is what he declares. That is what he witnesses of. For example, we go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Here John and Peter talked about the word of life. here they tell these people, Peter tells these people that there is no name given under heaven or earth that you can have salvation alone by the name of Jesus Christ. That is the only place you can find life. And that is what John had encountered. In Acts chapter 4 in verse 13, these people, they notice that John and Peter, that they had been with Jesus. Here they were in jail. They had been put to jail because of talking about Jesus. They were all over the place talking about Jesus and just talking about what they had seen and heard. And he tells us that in verse 19 and 20. But in verse 13, he says that it says that the people noticed that these disciples had been with Jesus. And then in verse 19 and 20, he says that they tell him that you shall not use this name of Jesus again. They forbid that. And then the disciples come back, John and Peter come back, and they said, judge by yourself if we shall listen more to you than to God. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. See, here they were all just speaking of this that they had seen and heard. They had seen Jesus in real life. This is what he says. This is life that has been manifest to us, that has been revealed to us. And then in verse 3, it says that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. First John writes the letter to all the believers, and that you may have fellowship with us. This is what he declares to those that he writes it to, and he writes it to us. John wanted to be with other believers and have fellowship and just talk about Jesus, this encounter that he had with Jesus. Through the word of life, we have fellowship with the Father. See, in this all comes through this word of life, this person, Jesus Christ, that went on the cross. For example, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, it says that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can go into this most holy place in the temple, which is the presence of the Father, the presence of God. There is no other way that we can have fellowship with the Father than through Jesus Christ. And that is what John is saying in verse 3. We have fellowship with the Father through Jesus Christ. And also we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Through the word of life, that is where fellowship comes. And he says, for we truly have fellowship with God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. John invites people to come and have fellowship with the word of life. And so does he to me and you. He invites that we may have fellowship with him. And he says, because our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. This is far better than anything else. You cannot find anything better in the whole world that is better than a fellowship with the Father and the Son. This is the fellowship that he is saying that he has with this Jesus, with the Son of Life that was revealed to them, that became human, that he had touched. He was just so full of joy, and he tells us that he wants us to have that joy too in verse 4. And he says, he explains why he has written this to us, to all the believers. He says, and these things I write to you, that your joy may be full. He says that our joy may be full. And that is the reason why he writes this to us, that our joy may be full in Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 15 and verse 11, he says, this is where Jesus says, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. John had this joy in him, and he wants us to have that too. This is why he writes this letter, that we may have joy and full joy. In verse 14 of John chapter 15, Jesus says that you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Jesus, this word of life wants to be our friend, wants to be in us. John declares this life so that we can have joy and full joy. That comes when we have fellowship with the word of life. Now in verse 5 and on, John starts going into deeper things. What God is life and so on. Let's read verse 5 again. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Here John is saying that this is the message that we have heard of him. Jesus had told them this, that God is light and that there is absolutely no darkness in him. God is light. He does not need light. God is the light. The Bible tells us that in heaven there will be no sun or no moon because Jesus is the light. There is no darkness in him. God sent his son, Jesus, to offer a sacrifice for sin, but in God there is no place for sin or darkness. There is absolutely no darkness in him, and he is the light. And John explains further on, God is the light, and where there is light, there is no room for darkness. And then he ties it together with verse 6, and he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Here he goes on and he says, if we confess that we walk with God or that we have fellowship with God and we live in sin, then we're a liar. That is what John is very clearly here. He says, if you say that you have fellowship with God and walk in sin, you are a liar. Those are some hard words. He says, you're a liar. With God being the light and you walking with the light and living in sin, that just doesn't work. John tells it, then something is not right. You're a liar because God cannot lie. Then John says, you are a liar. If we try to put these two together, see, because light and darkness cannot walk on one street. They do not go hand in hand on one street. It's not possible. If we say we have Jesus and we continue living in sin, in darkness, that doesn't work. It contradicts itself. God hates sin and he wants us to hate sin too. And we will if we walk in the light. In verse 7, he goes on and talks about this light. He says, but if we walk in the light, that means in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here he says, but. See, in verse 5 and 6, he says, if you try to walk in the light and walk in sin, you're a liar. This just doesn't work. You can't walk in the light and in the darkness at the same time. And here he says, but the opposite. If you walk with the light, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, as God is in the light, then he says, then this is possible. Then we can have fellowship. If we walk hand in hand with God on the street of life, on the street of light, then there is no darkness. If we walk in the light, darkness disappears immediately. When you turn on the lights in a dark room, darkness just disappears. That doesn't mean that there are no corners, that there will be no darkness. Where light shines, darkness has absolutely no room. Now, if we walk with God on the street of light, then we have fellowship with one another because we see us in Jesus, in the light. We walk with God in the light. And then if we, John refers to other believers also walking in this light, that he says, then we can have fellowship because we are in the light. We're on one street of light. And that comes together because there is no darkness here. With walking in the light in Jesus, in his word, in his presence, this then his blood will cleanse us from all sin, from all the darkness. By walking on the street of light, then we can have fellowship with one another. By walking in the light, by living out the word of God, he will cleanse us from all our sins. The word of God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We will go on to verse 8 where he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Here John goes on and he says, you cannot go on the light, on the street of light and live in sin. You're a liar like that. And then he says, he's very clear that he says, but if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Here the Bible is very clear that as long as we're here on earth, we remain as a sinner. We will always remain as a sinner. I once heard a preacher say that he talked to an older lady, and this lady was very self-righteous. And this lady, and she said to him, it's been over 3 years now that I have not sinned. And the preacher says, that is not good. And this lady is all upset. She says, why not? The preacher says, then you haven't lived in repentance for the last 3 years. John is very clearly with that. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We remain sinners. The only place that we can be looked at where we are in righteousness, that is in Jesus, that is in the light. And we will walk in the light will reveal our darkness. It's just like in a room. You have a lot of boxes. You turn on the light, it's immediately lit up. But then you have to go and open up these boxes and reveal light in there, and that will disappear the darkness. And that's what we have to do in all our life, is walk in the light, and the light will make us free. Jesus will make us free of all of this darkness in our life that we have. The truth is not if we say we have no sin, we have not sinned, that is not the truth. Then the truth of God is not in us. That's what he's saying. Jesus said, I came for the sick and not for those that don't need a doctor. He came for the sinners. So we have to confess that we have sinned. And he goes on in this outline. In verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here, John says, if we confess our sins. First, he says, if we confess our sins. That is, he is saying himself. He is looking at himself and he says, we have to confess our sins. We know that we're sinners. We know that as long as we're on this earth, we remain as sinners, in that we have to confess our sins. And then Jesus is ready to forgive us. The confessing of our sin comes when we realize that we are sinners. Then we can confess our sins. And when we confess our sins, Jesus is ready to forgive us. He understands that we come short before God. John understands that. Jesus cannot be unfaithful or unjust. And if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. See, we have to confess our sins, then he is faithful and just. And if we say that we have not sinned, we're making him a liar. That tells us on verse 10. But here in verse 9 it says, if we confess, he is just, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What happens if we confess our sins and we doubt if he has forgiven us? With that, with doubting that he forgives us our sins, we are doubting if he is faithful or just. With that, we are saying, Jesus, you are not faithful and just. You're unjust and you're unfaithful. Here it's very clearly. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He cannot be unfaithful at all. He cannot be unfaithful and not unjust. If we confess our sins, he has to forgive us because he is righteous. He is faithful. He is just. Jesus has never, ever been unfaithful or unjust. So if we confess our sins, he will cleanse us. He will forgive us. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The key is confess our sins. Confessing our sins, that is the key to Jesus being faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He cannot be unfaithful. In the moment we are ready to confess our sin, he is ready to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John says, this is the Jesus that I have encountered. He explains this Jesus that he is not never going to be unfaithful to us. He is always righteous. He is faithful. He is just. When we are ready to confess our sins, he is ready to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In verse 10, he goes on and he says, now, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. John here, again, he is very clearly that whoever says that he has not sinned, he makes Jesus a liar. With that, he is saying, Jesus, you are unfaithful, you are unjust, because I have not sinned. Because the word of God tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all men come short of that what we should be before God. Every man has sinned. Jesus said to this man that came up to Jesus, and he says, good master. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? Only God is good. With this, Jesus was telling this man that only God is good. All humans are bad. All the people are bad because they have sinned. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. We always have to be clear that we are sinners as long as we're on this earth, as long as we're on this side of eternity, and that we can come to the presence of Jesus and confess our sins. And every moment that we realize that I have this box of darkness in me, then we can come before Jesus and confess that sin. And in that instant, Jesus is ready to forgive us because he has to, because he is faithful and just. He cannot do other way because he had said so. If you confess your sins, I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I have a question for us. Do you have this word of life that John is talking about? This word that was manifest to them. From verse 1 to verse 4, John declares this word of God becoming life to us. And that this is what he witnessed. He was going around witnessing to people of that what he had seen. That you may have fellowship with us. He says that you may have fellowship with us because we have fellowship with the Father and the Son. Do we have this fellowship with the Father and the Son and with other believers? All of this should draw to the sinner of Jesus Christ, having fellowship with one another, because John says, because we have fellowship with the Father and the Son. He goes on in verse 5, he says, I write this to you. Sorry, in verse 4, he says, I write this to you that you may have full joy. This is his goal, is just to write this to the believers, that they may have full joy in the relationship, in this fellowship with God. We don't find in the Bible that God wants us to have a religion. God does not want religion in his people. He wants fellowship. God wants to have fellowship with us. He doesn't want a religion with us. He wants fellowship with us. And that is what John is saying here, that you may have fellowship with us. In verse 5 through 10, he tells us these different things. He says, this is the message that we have heard and declare this to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. And he goes on and says that, if you have fellowship with him, you will not live in this darkness, in the sin, because this light will reveal this darkness and light. It will just drive that darkness out. Darkness and light cannot have fellowship with one another. And then he goes on and he says, now if you can confess, your sins to Jesus, and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will forgive you. And then last, he says, we are all sinners. If we say we're not sinners, we're making him as a liar. May God bless his word. May this word be an encouragement to all. And may this word just reveal the life, the fellowship that God wants to have with us. And that we can have one with another under the word of God. May God bless his word. May God bless each and every one. May God's peace and mercy be with y'all. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the joy that you give us, this overflowing joy that you've given us whenever we look into your word, that we can have fellowship with the living God, with the living word of God, that you became human in the form of and you became God in the form of human, in that we can have life. Jesus, we thank you for you being so loving, that coming out of heaven and revealing this life to us, that we can have this overflowing life in us. Lord, I pray that you would grant every brother and sister, every believer, that you would grant this peace to them, and that we can go as John, as that we can go and talk to people, reveal this life to others, just declare witness of this life that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray that you will be with everyone. May your peace and mercy be with us. Lord, I thank you for your kindness, for your love, for your mercy, and that you have said that you will be with us to the end of times. Lord, I thank you, and I pray your blessings upon everyone. In your holy name, Jesus, amen.
319.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture, descending, break from above. is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.